my friend Father Zach here from Green Bay. He was a college pitcher before he entered the seminary, and so he was the one guy that I trusted to watch the Cubs win the World Series with me. As everybody else in the seminary was gathered around, Father Zach was the only one I trusted to watch those high stake innings with. But it's good to have you, Father Zach, here at Our Lady of Mercy. Just, you remember 2 months ago the reaction of the New York Senate chamber when they passed, at the time, the most permissive abortion laws, and them of hooting and hollering, which reflects our culture and society's champion the destruction of life. And now Illinois wants to continue that narrative and reclaim the reins of being the abortion capital of the country. It is important, if you were out of town 2 months ago when I preached on this, to go back and listen to the homily that I preached 2 months ago. You can find it on our website. It's called Setting Captives Free. During that homily, I had Nancy Kruiser come up and give her beautiful testimony, because it's important when we talk about this to start from the spot of talking about healing and forgiveness and mercy. That's the spot to start. And so those who missed that 2 months ago and maybe are here visiting or guests with us, please listen to that homily, because that's the starting point when we talk about this. But now's the time to act. As Bishop Conlon, our bishop, mentioned, and Father Don and I want to piggyback off of him and ask all of us here to act. Act in two ways. One is to visit our website. The front page of our website is a yellow box that says taking action against the legislation that's being proposed down in Springfield. There's two bills, and they are outrageous. On Wednesday, there will be buses going down to Springfield on behalf of our diocese, and many will be going. Most of us aren't able to go. So on Wednesday here at Our Lady of Mercy, from 8:30 in the morning to 10 p.m. at night, we will have our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament here on this altar. I encourage all of you on Wednesday to stop here at some point up until 10 p.m. at night and spend time before our Lord, adoring him and praying that these bills don't get passed. Now, that didn't count as my homily, so if you time me, you can start timing now. But this is shorter today, given the long readings and the message from the bishop. The readings that are proclaimed, that we just heard proclaimed, are in a special way proclaimed to those who are about to be baptized. So as I look out here, I see at least four people who will eventually, on Holy Saturday, on Easter Vigil, be baptized in the water. But these readings are also proclaimed for those of us who have been baptized. And so these readings on always the third Sunday of Lent, the fourth and the fifth Sunday of Lent, these readings are always proclaimed. And if baptized, we can see with these readings that when one is baptized, it's as if they're exiting a spot of complete blindness, as we're born blind, all of us. Baptism is the very means of which God acts and frees us from darkness and liberates us, gives us power. Those of us who have been baptized, we also have a tendency to slip back into darkness. And what that looks like is not going back into a spot of being blind, but it's likened to slowly a blindfold being slowly put over our eyes. And it happens slowly and happens gradually. Or it can happen quickly. So that's why Paul writes, as he's writing to those in Ephesus in our second reading today, he spent 2 years in Ephesus baptizing and bringing those up in the faith. And then he leaves, and now as he writes them back, he says, he's pleading with them, brothers and sisters, remember that you once were darkness. You were once blind. You're not blind anymore. Remember what happened? Remember when I was with you for 2 years? I baptized so many of you. He pleads with them, live now as children of the light. Remember that Jesus lives in you and the light is there. He says, take no part in fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them. See, but I think Paul, he has to write to Ephesus. He's been gone for some time now. He's got to write back. Why? Because after baptism, sin remains. Concupiscence, our tendency to sin, to fall back into darkness, not blindness, but having a blindfold. He knows it happens, and he knows the evil one is on a prowl. And our enemy, he's an attackful enemy. And he knows where to attack us, and he goes after it, and he drives home. And he drives home in a lot of different ways. And I had three things that I wanted to mention, but I'm just going to mention one today. The other two will be later, maybe. So as we talk about a blindfold, I think the thing, maybe one thing for us to look at today, is blindfolds have a tendency for us to go on slowly. And that's what sin does. Sin blinds us. So all of a sudden our eyes begin to shut slow, more and more and more and more, where things get more dark. And the caution for us today is to understand that little sins lead to big sins. To not underestimate little sins. Because little sins can destroy you and destroy me. It's the process in which our eyes become shut slowly and more slow, shut more and more and more to the point where it's complete darkness. So C.S. Lewis, in a letter or a book that he wrote, Screwtape Letters, he's a demon. So Screwtape is the name of a senior demon, and he's writing to his nephew, Wormwood. Wormwood is this little demon just starting off, just beginning. He's got an assignment to the human that he's assigned to. And he writes to his uncle, Screwtape, and he's frustrated because he's being assigned to all these tasks of these little temptations upon the human that he's assigned to. And he writes to Screwtape, and he's frustrated. He's saying, why all these little frustrations that you have, or these little temptations that you have me going towards them? And Screwtape writes back to his nephew, Wormwood, who's just getting underway, and says, young buck, you have no idea. The best way to get after them is to start with these little small sins. Don't get frustrated. Don't make the mistake that all the little other demons who just start off, that they fall into. Be persistent in just going small. Because that's how we'll get them. So he coaches them on it. And we know this to be true. We know it to be true from ourselves. And we can look at it in the scriptures, countless examples. I was reminded of King Saul in 1 Samuel. King Saul, he started off with David, looking at David. And at first he was jealous. Seeing David, who was attractive. David was playing his harp. Everyone would gather around David, praise David. And Saul sitting there jealous. His jealousy turns to envy. His envy turns to the point, the scripture says, that Saul, jealousy and envy made him crazy. His jealousy transformed him into going mad to the point where he wanted, saw a spear alongside him, and he wanted to pick up that spear and throw it at David. Now's my spot, chance to kill him, to ruin him. Something that started small overtook him. King David loved the Lord. He was a chosen one. God loved him. Started small. Started off with him being lazy, not fighting war where he should have been. He stayed at home. He wandered up on the rooftop, looked across the rooftop and saw Bathsheba bathing. He glanced over. He glanced over a second time, a fourth time. Could have left, he stayed up there to the point where he was overcome with lust. Started small. And as he stayed up on the roof, he eventually was overcome with lust, and he says, I want her. He told his servants, bring her to me. She's mine. He slept with her, had an adultery. That led to murdering her husband, Uriah, to cover his tracks. It started small. We know this from our own life. It can start off with having too much to drink one time. Then it's having too much to drink three times, five times, to the point it's out of hand. And now I can't control myself. And now I'm an alcoholic. And I'm stuck. And I can't get unstuck. That's not a fun spot to be. And then the blindfold's on tight. And I can't get it off. Wandering eyes on the computer. It can start with just one click. Rationalizing, reasoning it. It's not that bad. Nobody knows. There's no harm. Then turns to three clicks. Then turns to 10 clicks. And then I'm in a deep, dark, downward spiral that I want to get out of, but I can't. It starts small. So the question is, the name of the game is, how do we take our blindfolds off? And as baptism makes us from complete blindness, and it pours God's Spirit in us and gives us power. It liberates us from the hands of a tyrant and brings us in the hands of the Father. For those who have been baptized and the blindfold's been slowly over our eyes, the thing that gets us out is confession. We get our power back in confession. We're able to fight, to go on the offensive and fight the evil one. When we go to confession, the grace is poured into our hearts. I oftentimes, when those that come to confession and it's been years, decades, after I give absolution, I smile and I say, expect a difference in the coming days. Expect a difference in the coming weeks and months. Because you now have access to a power that you have not had in quite some time. And then we have the grace, we're able to go on the offensive. And just as little sins can lead to big sins, little acts of virtue leads to becoming a virtuous man. It leads to becoming a virtuous woman. And we're able to act on it and go on the offensive. We're able to be liberated. And that happens in confession. In our gospel today, Jesus, with man born blind, he could have, as he saw him, he could have just healed him. He's God. Could have snapped his finger and said, "You're healed. Let's go." But instead, what does he do? He spits on the ground, makes mud out of the dirt, and smears it over his eyes. And what Jesus wants us to do, he wants us to go back to Genesis. He wants us to recall the creation of Adam. So as God created Adam, Jesus recreates the man born blind today. Jesus wants to recreate you and me after our baptism. Those of us that have slowly a blindfold been over our eyes. And he wants to cut it. Not even untie it. He wants to cut it. And he does it easily. So let us allow ourselves to hear God ask us the question today, all of us. Do you want to be recreated? Do you want to start anew? If the answer is yes, the move to make is to go to confession.